You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Judge. It's a really weird looking din in my head. It's too much and it's not good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the wall, and I'd like to give you information. Asking for a quick blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number three. Our thanks to Lisa Haven and Joe Hagman for joining us in the first 2 hours. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time, and we need your help to do that. And I thought Joe had really good advice. Just talk to people. Tell them your story. Let them tell your story and then kind of blend it into what the bad guys are doing. I have a feeling time is short. I'm reading intel reports out there that tell me that both sides in the Korean issue are planning first strikes. We'll see. Certainly China is preparing to move on the rest of Asia. That'll be another topic for another time. Watch the YouTube channel for that. And speaking of YouTube, help me popularize by sharing, because they've killed the organic traffic. Let's get the word out. We appreciate your help. Anyway, my name again is Dave Hodges, and if this is your first time listening, we are the Common Sense Show, and we have a terrific guest coming up for you here. Recently, I interviewed Patrick Wood about technocracy, and we did a part two on what we can do to counter technocracy and the Agenda 21 takeover of our culture. Let's go ahead and play that, Don. Hi, everybody. This is Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. We're brought to you by Numana. You need food, water, guns, gold, ammo, and medicine to get through the challenges that could be coming our way. We can help you with the food. Go to Numana.com/Hodges. That's Numana.com/Hodges. And take 10% off by using the coupon code Hodges10. Get the peace of mind that comes with knowing you've done everything you can do to prep your family. Well, tonight on the Newsmaker line with me, we have my friend Pat Wood. And Pat is going to do a follow-up of an interview that we did previously on how far technocracy has come to taking over our lives, and we're going to be talking about resistance. But if we have time, we're going to also squeeze in some economic factors that are kind of looming out there, and it's something that we shouldn't take our eye off. Hi, Pat. Welcome to the show. Glad you could join us.
I'm glad we can finish this thought that we started last time.
Yeah. The previous interview got really good reviews, and people are going, man, I can't wait to hear about what we can do, the resistance. So let's just jump right into it. How do we say no to these bad guys and get away with it?
Well, I'll tell you, wow. First, you have to know who the bad guys really are. And there's, on one hand, there's kind of a social movement right now in various parts of the world where people are resisting. Maybe they don't know what they're doing, but they're resisting what's going on. And that's a good thing. For instance, in China, where China has released smartphone apps that lets you snitch on your neighbors. Can you imagine that? An official application, you know, like a real app, to snitch on your neighbor. I saw my neighbor did something. He left at 6:30 instead of 7 yesterday, and you know something's going on, man. I'm snitching on him. Well, Chinese citizens are shunning these apps actively at this point, and you know they're catching on. They're not going to snitch on their neighbors, because if I snitch on, how about the golden rule? If I snitch on them, they're going to snitch on me.
Yes.
So they're, you know, the government over there is taking a little heat over that. And of course, China is an embedded technocracy at this point. And people might want to argue with me on that. I'd be happy to do it. But China has been identified as a technocracy for at least 18-19 years now. And that means that they're run by scientists and engineers, and they're practicing social engineering on a mammoth, gigantic level. And this is what you end up with. You end up with a country that creates a system that completely oppresses the people in the system and just puts a straitjacket around them and basically just locks them in. Like, you know, what can I do? But we see that kind of resistance happening around the people at Whole Foods right now. This has just been in the news. Whole Foods was bought by Amazon, right? So
mm-hmm. Yes.
Amazon came in and completely changed the culture at Whole Foods. And now the poor employees at Whole Foods are so micromanaged that they can't move left or right without risking getting fired. I've never seen anything like it in my life, but they have clamped down on people so hard. One story said that interviewed somebody, an employee at one of these stores, and says employees are actually crying in the break room.
Oh man.
Can you imagine? And so there's like a revolt going on right now at Whole Foods. It's going to be interesting to see what happens there. But see, this is what's happening at Whole Foods is a symptom that's very similar to what's happening across our entire society, this micromanaging control. And people are sensing it. I mean, when it clamps in on you, you feel it pretty quick. And most people, dare say in our country, all people, will resist that kind of oppression when they feel it tightening around their own necks.
Well, Pat, did you see along these lines of control, did you see what Amazon is doing? They patent a wristband that their employees will wear so they can be closely monitored while they work?
Well, that's exactly right. That's an extension of their mentality that they have right now. And I will say this bluntly, but in my analysis of Amazon, Amazon is run by a technocrat who believes in scientific engineering, that is scientific social engineering, and he's using technology to convert people into living robots, if you will. That's what he's doing. And, you know, when robots get to the point where they can do the job without having, you know, people involved, the people will be fired. They will be gone. That'll just be the end of the employee at their career at Amazon. But can you imagine? I mean, I want your listeners to imagine being forced by your company to wear a glove that if you reach in the wrong direction when you're on the assembly line, it gives you a feedback, no, 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 slap on the hand, nope, no, you don't go there, you go the other way, or whatever it is. That's incredulous. It's just unbelievable. And yet, you can see that in the mindset if you look at what's going on with inside of Whole Foods, but Amazon itself. People are under such incredible pressure to perform that they can barely hold up under it. They're just crushed. And this is the mindset mentality that's spreading throughout our country and our economy. And the resistance is starting to rise up. It needs to take hold. It really does. There was a cool story in Great Britain where a supermarket over there bought a robot to assist the shoppers, you know, like, good morning, sir, or whatever, you know, could I help you find something? And, you know, they're supposed to take them down the aisle and, you know, oh, it's over there on aisle 19 on the left side, whatever. Well, this robot ended up alarming so many customers that the store, the chain, fired the robot, put it back in its box, and shipped it back to the manufacturer.
Too bad we can't do that to Zuckerberg and Bezos.
Oh, I love that. I know. If they ever get out in public where we can get them, we'll put them back in a box and ship them somewhere.
This is incredible. Well, you know, the wristband thing that I was mentioning earlier about Amazon, it's Pavlovian conditioning. You know they're going to deliver electric shock if you do something wrong, and if you're inactive for longer than 5 seconds, zap. You know, this is incredible. This is how they look at us. We're Pavlovian dogs to them.
That's exactly right. And you know, I heard this before years ago. I actually wrote a story on this. there was a, and I'm trying to think, this is probably at least four years ago now, but the head of the firm in China that builds iPhones, the name slips me right now, but it's a huge, huge firm. It'll come to me in a minute, maybe. But the head of that company was happened to be in a cocktail party where there were some reporters, and a report came out of that. A reporter wrote a story about this, and he was listening to the CEO, and he was having labor problems because people were committing suicide because they were under such pressure and long hours and little sleep and everything, and had to do something about it. So he hired a consultant, Dave, to help out at the company, to help him with his social issues, like why are people committing suicide, sort of thing. And you know who he hired? The consultant that he hired. He said this in the same breath. He hired the head of the Beijing Zoo to help him with his personnel problems. Now,
I'm sorry. I know. A drink and if some of this is lodged in my nose.
I'm sorry. Well, that'll teach you. You need a glove on your hand there to zap yourself when you're drinking water when you shouldn't. But can you imagine? Looking to a zoo curator to help you with personnel management so you can get your herd in shape so they don't kill themselves. This is the mind of a technocrat, Dave. I just can't get people to understand this enough. This is the very mind of a technocrat, to use herd management techniques, animal conditioning techniques on people to get them to do what you want them to do. That's it. That's exactly what technocracy is all about. There's more, but that's a big part of it. And Amazon is mastering that skill. They're absolutely fine-tuning it to the last little decibel,
you know,
to make it work.
Pat, on a serious note, this actually speaks to the kind of world that we're going to be allowed to live in. In other words, when the depopulation is done and the transhumanism is complete and the servant class has been created, genetically speaking, they're telling you how they're going to treat you.
That's exactly right. And I'm sorry to say that the people that are inadvertently, ignorantly helping technocracy move along, that would include many politicians, especially in our government, they're allowing them to continue to move on, let me put it that way. Those what I call useful idiots at this point, they really don't understand the big game. But those useful idiots are the first ones that are going to get thrown under the bus if technocracy really grabs hold in our country and the world. They'll be the first ones to lose. They'll lose their jobs, and, you know, for all we know, they could lose their lives as well. But every revolution, just look back since the Bolshevik Revolution, every revolution was made possible by a cadre of people who had no clue what they were doing. They're just following blindly and helping the monsters get into power. And when they got into power, those were the first people they killed. The Bolshevik Revolution was a perfect example of that. China is a perfect example. So is Hitler. Hitler did the same thing. He killed the very people that helped him get in power. Well, they were dangerous because, I guess, they helped them get in power.
Yeah, exactly.
But technocrats are no different. I don't think they're any different in that regard. And we look at companies like Amazon and what they're doing and how inhuman they are. If you really want to have that kind of a society here in America, where this is the job future and the social future you have to look forward to, you either need to check out now, leave the country, or do something about it. Just that simple.
Yeah. Pat, let me read to you something here, and this is right along the lines of what we're talking about, only this comes from Big Pharma. There's a new psychiatric medication on the market called Abilify Mixite. On its own, the drug is a partial dopamine agonist that's been approved by the FDA as an antipsychotic medication generally prescribed to people with conditions such as schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. Here's the deal. It spies on you and lets someone at a receiving station from an RFID signal knowing if you took the pill, if the pill was digested. Let me project this out. What if we were to live in a, quote, brave new world where medication to control people and make them docile was mandatory? They now have the mechanism to enforce it.
They sure do. And why shouldn't it be mandatory? They're already doing that with vaccines. You know, I just tonight I heard on the news that the flu, you know, people sick with flu and stuff is getting worse. Whether it's an epidemic or not is debatable, but it is getting worse. And they're reporting about it. And their answer is, even this late in the season, their answer is, why, to protect yourself against getting sick, you need to run right out immediately and get a flu shot.
After the fact? And, what the heck kind of good is that going to do after the fact?
Well, you know, Big Pharma has such a handle on this. They don't care when you take the flu shot. They make money every time a shot is given. And that's the whole point of this. It's a money scam. They're making billions off of vaccines. And they have the public conditioned to do what they tell them to do. Now, why would that be any different with a drug like you're describing here? If a majority of the quote-unquote scientists get behind it and says, hey, this is what we need. You know, everybody needs to get vaccinated or, you know, take this. Well, you know, line up. And, you know, there's nurses around the country right now in hospitals that are refusing to take vaccines.
Yes.
Because the doctors they serve are refusing to take it, but they don't fire the doctors, but they're firing the nurses. And nurses are revolting right now. That's a beautiful thing, too, in my mind. Nurses are rebelling, and they're winning in some states. They're winning hands down because of prejudice, because they refuse to take the vaccine.
I read it.
And so they're ganging up. They're ganging up on the hospitals and the HMOs and everything else, finally, and pooling their money and making class action suits. And they're saying, heck no, we're not going to do it. And we're, you know, you can't tell us that the condition of working here is to put those toxins in our body. You just can't tell us that. Well, of course, the technocrats have no problem with putting stuff in your body on a mandatory basis.
Yes.
It's like, well, why not? You know, they look at you, and you're just like one of those sweet-looking cows or steers in the feedlot. They just look up at you with those big baby browns and, you know, moo. And, you know, you're just a herd. You're just a member of one of those things in the herd to be managed. Look, oh, this has got to stop, Dave.
Well, you're exactly right. This is what their end game is. But there is some silver lining. I read a couple of days ago, and I can't recall the source, but Trump said he was coming out and was going to do away with mandatory vaccinations. Do you know about that?
I hope so.
Yeah, this is, yeah.
I did. I saw a glimpse of it. I hope he does. Of course, he can't. I don't think he can do that unilaterally, all by himself. But I think he has a wherewithal to, you know, get him moving. And that's what presidents are for.
Well, he's really bucking the establishment. And
yes.
You know, and I have to tell you, Pat, I've written about this. The parallels to the Kennedy years are striking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a scary, scary time that we live in right now. In fact, Trump is surrounding himself with Marines. He doesn't trust the Secret Service. That's how bad things are.
That's right. That's right. You can't, you know, who can you trust? The FBI has turned on him, it appears. The FBI has, you know, been legendary in their independence over the decades, supposedly. Maybe that was just image the whole time. I don't know. But, you know, it's like if you can't trust the FBI, who can you trust? You know, it's like, well, you can't trust them anymore.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I just, yeah. But the FBI is always been a rogue organization. I mean, yeah, J. Edgar Hoover, who was on the take from the mafia because they would have exposed his cross-dressing and his gambling habits and his homosexual affair with number two guy. You know, it's always been that way. When has the FBI ever been clean?
I just really don't know. I know there's always been shenanigans, but these days it's over the top. And no matter what case you look into right now, there's nothing but questions, confusion, and appears in some cases to be flat out illegal activity.
Uh-huh.
And three things I can give you right now. Number one is a whole incident with the Bundy family. and the LaVoy family, where LaVoy Finicum was shot to death in front of FBI, but although they didn't do it, they talked to the state police up in Oregon to do it. But that investigation just got thrown out of court, totally thrown out of court. Every one of the defendants has walked not guilty, and they walked out, and the government is beside themselves because they couldn't prosecute the case. But it was because of corruption at the FBI that those cases were thrown out. Then you have a situation, of course, with just what's going on with Mueller and with Comey originally, and this recent memo that was just leaked. It reeks of corruption, totally. And it's like everywhere you look, you see the FBI involved in various investigations. How about Las Vegas and the mass shooting up there? What have we seen out of the brilliant FBI to solve that case? Nothing. We know less now than we knew on the day that it happened. And they're sitting on the evidence. They're just withholding it. So, you know, the FBI, if nothing else, is apparently, in a practical sense, incompetent. But we know it's more than that. We know it's more than just incompetence. There's people within the FBI that are flat out off the rails, period.
Yes. So what do we do about it? How do we resist?
The FBI is tough to resist. I mean, you know, if they come knocking on your door, that's it. You know, they got the guns and they the handcuffs, whatever, they can take you away and throw the key away. But in my personal opinion, Dave, the battle is going to be fought in local communities. And I say battle, not forget guns. I'm not talking guns or anything. But the struggle, if you will, is going to happen in local communities around our country where people get together and get involved in their local government to root this thinking out at a local level, because that's where it needs to start. You cannot break this stuff from the top down. It has to be broken from the bottom up. And this is maybe a little counterintuitive for some people to get their head around it. But, for most people, when was the last time you ever went to a city council meeting, a school board meeting, a fire board meeting, a county meeting of any kind, planning and zoning commission meeting? When did you go to those meetings? And somebody on the left told a friend of mine in California, not too long ago, a little while ago, and this is somebody on the left telling somebody on the right, right? So this was not some funny thing that a conservative made up. But they said, if you don't have a seat at the table, you are what's for lunch.
That's true.
That's it, Dave.
That's true.
That's it. They know this. The opposition knows this as they are impressing all this Agenda 21, 2030 agenda, all these policies of smart growth, smart cities, all this stuff is coming straight from the United Nations, and every community in America is buying into this. Every single one. I haven't seen a place hardly that isn't buying into this to some extent. Citizens need to rise up in their own communities, get involved, and change it. Tell them you can't do that. It's anti-American. It's anti-free enterprise and capitalism, and you just got to stop it. And people can make a difference if they do that. In some communities, that's exactly what's happened. There's a tremendous resistance going on in some communities to break the local stranglehold these people have over their lives. And it's not impossible. They live in your town, for Pete's sake, for the most part. You can get involved with them. You have a right to get involved with them. You have a duty to get involved with them. But most people sit back and say, I want to yell at my TV when Fox News comes on.
I'm going to share this with you. It'll seem like it's going off the beaten path, but it really isn't. Jimmy Kimmel recently came out and he said, conservatives can't be talk show hosts because they're too damn dumb. And then he went on to say, it takes intelligence to be a liberal, and therefore only talk show hosts should be liberals. And that was his whole rationale. And I do grant him one thing. it does take a degree of cognitive capacity to keep your lies straight. I would agree with him on that point. But I actually challenged Jimmy Kimmel, and I'm going to keep repeating it till I get his attention. I'm not going to brag. I'm not going to tell anyone here what my IQ is, but I know it's higher than Jimmy Kimmel. And I have issued the public challenge because, see, this is the arrogance we're facing. And if I beat him in an IQ test, he has to go on his show and say, Dave Hodges beat me, and I have to confess that I am a dumbass. And I've thrown that gauntlet out there, Pat. And I'm going to make sure this goes viral. And you know how people love controversy, so I'll have no trouble getting people to send this viral. It'll end up on his desk. Someone from the New York Times will call me, and they'll try to turn it into some kind of threat. You know, or they'll turn it into some kind of racist statement. So, but here's what we're looking at. Here's the bottom line of what I'm saying. You and I, because we're conservatives, and worse yet, we're conservative Christians, we're too darn dumb to manage our affairs. It takes a liberal to tell us how to live.
Yeah. That's a big ego, okay? I've heard this for over 40 years, Dave. Same thing. It's never changed. It's never changed. These people have the biggest ego that you can imagine. And, you know, even back when I was Tony Sutton and I were actually debated members of the Trilateral Commission on radio in public, by the way. And every person we ever met was incredulous that we didn't find everything that they did perfect. They just couldn't believe it. They were genuinely stunned that, well, what do you mean? What's wrong with what we're doing? You know, like they really didn't get it. Now, maybe they were playing dumb like a fox in some case, but, you know, that's the sense I got back then, and I'll never forget that. A lot of them just don't get it. But that's dangerous. That's living in a fantasy world, in my opinion. You know, to think that you and you alone are right and everybody else is wrong.
Well, that leads to the arrogance that we see in the media where they think they can just speak their words and their words become reality for everybody.
That's fantasy. That's right. That's fantasy.
That's the kind of fantasy thinking that an 8-year-old outgrows, which is why they stop watching Winnie the Pooh and the 100-Acre Forest, because they know that's just fantasy. But unfortunately, the left doesn't seem to have the ability to distinguish between fantasy and reality.
They don't, because their philosophy has robbed them of the ability to do critical thinking.
Well,
that's what it takes.
Okay.
But on the good side, when you run into somebody in your local community who you recognize as kind of being like that, okay, there's nothing that says you can't sit down with that person and talk to them. And if you do it right, as you talk to them, don't beat them up, but if you do it right, you might well be able to lead them to the truth and open their eyes. I've heard a lot of people say they were liberal Democrats and progressives, whatever, at one time, and then they got, I'll use the word, quote unquote, saved out of it, and turned to conservatism. They did a flip-flop. It is possible to bring somebody out of that darkness. And we need to think that way. Just like as if it were a cult. We need to think that way. But you got to sit down and communicate with people. You got to talk to them. You can't do it from afar. You can't just write them a letter or post a, you know, tack up a bulletin somewhere. That's not going to do it.
I'm really of the opinion that they just need to be overwhelmed by sheer numbers of people that see the light.
There's a place for that.
And I know it's kind of a group think gang mentality, but they don't want to be reasonable. They want to be in control. For most of the liberals, well, really, there's two kinds of liberals. There are those who want my money, and they don't want to work. And then there's the ones who want all the power.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, those are the two camps of liberals. And this is why the liberals pander to the unemployed and like to keep them unemployed.
Yep.
So I, you know, I, excuse me as I take a drink here. But anyway, Pat, when we're looking at resistance, if we don't get a handle on things right now, the resistance is going to come at the end of a barrel.
That is the ultimate conclusion. You're absolutely right. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see a bunch of Lavoie Finicums laying in the snow. So the only way we're going to avoid that in the end is doing something about it now.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly.
Before that's right. Before it gets to that point. And to that end, by the way, well, I haven't brought up the topic of localactivist.org, but it would be probably a good time to do it at some point in this call, because Mary Baker and I teamed up to offer Citizen Ninja basic training for every local activist. And we're offering this as a course and live training for people that just are helpless to, you know, and powerless. They feel powerless to do anything in their community civically. We've created this class just for them. And this is Mary's work, Mary Baker. She's the one that came up with the training, but she's validated her training in California on in-person workshops over the last couple of years. She's trained 800 people. That's a task. And all of her workshops were no more than 40 people. So she's done a lot of work in delivering these workshops and validating the training. It works. And people that are taking this, they're learning how to speak, how to conquer their fear, how to be assertive, how to ask questions, how to make statements in public or even just in private, how to neutralize your opponent. And you and I might talk in terms of how to overcome the Delphi technique in public meetings, you know, visioning meetings and stuff like that. But we don't use the word Delphi in the training just because most people have never heard of it before. But this is my answer at this point to all the questions I've had over the years when I talk to people about whatever, technocracy and the Trilateral Commission, all that kind of stuff. They say, what can we do? What can we do? And they keep asking that question. I say, well, I told you what the problem is. Go do something. And they say, what can we do? They're still helpless. They haven't done anything. I say, okay, I get it. You need somebody to kind of hold your hand and teach you how to do it. And that's what we're trying to do.
Well, people are resisting in different ways, though, Pat. I like what you're doing
with
the formal approach, because when you're using, let's say, the parliamentary procedures, you're involved in the political processes, your chance for effecting change is more direct. And I think the change will come more rapidly. But I'll share this with you. I just came across an article I was reading not too long ago that said that Facebook has lost 1 million accounts in the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
Did you see that?
Major resistance against Facebook right now, and the other social medias as well.
Yeah, people are voting with their feet. And the Super Bowl was at an all-time low in terms of recent years. Now, I was reading an economic analysis of the Super Bowl, and they said if you adjusted this for population on a per capita basis, this might be the lowest Super Bowl of all time.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And here are the Philadelphia Eagles, and mostly made up of African Americans, who won the Super Bowl. Instead of saying, I can't wait to meet President Trump, thank him for helping to facilitate the lowest black unemployment rate since we've been measuring, but also talk to the president about maybe some other things we can do. See, I could get behind that attitude. But instead, no, I'm not going to talk to him. He's responsible for all the social injustice. And they're referring to programs that are 5 and 6 and 7 decades old.
Yeah.
And what did Obama do during that time? And people, this is what people are turning off to. People can see through this crap.
And
so there's a resistance to those who would control us. Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, they try to control us through thought, word, and deed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm encouraged, Pat, because so many people are saying, no, you're not going to control me. I will read what I want, and I will think what I want.
Yes, and I'll get the straight story somewhere that I can believe it, or where it's more believable than in my Facebook feed.
But you saw what Zuckerberg said. Well, we're not going to put national issues out there. Your local issues, you know, how's your garage sale going? And people go, what the hell? No, we're not doing that. And YouTube, don't get me started on YouTube.
No, I won't. I know that's a sore subject for you and a lot of other people that use that have used YouTube in the past. It's virtually off limits now. It's useless, basically, for any conservative broadcaster.
Well, I got demonetized for daring to do a podcast on why diet soda makes you fat, the biochemical analysis. So they're banning science. And there was another one where was a Law and Order came out, and they had a show called InfoWars. And this is Law and Order SVU, and the reporter from InfoWars, and they use the term InfoWars on the show. I can't believe it. They go, it's all coincidental. Yeah, right. And the female reporter that's like their main reporter, Millie, they raped her in the show. They had her raped.
Yeah.
And they think this is okay. And you know what? People are outraged at this, and I'm hearing that their ratings are expected now to drop. So
yes, I think they will. They've gone over the top. Absolutely
so,
over
Pat,
the top.
Here's my question: with all this foot traffic, you know, basically pedestrian boycotts, where are people going to go though? I mean, they walk away from the media outlets that are controlled by the globalists. Where are they going to go? Where do they end up?
Well, good question. They end up with listening, perhaps, to our alternative media, which is where they really the only place they're going to find much. And they might just decide that they're going to really get involved with their local community and go out and do something about it. You know, that's the only way it's going to. I think it's the only way it's going to really stop it in the end is by working from the bottom up, the grassroots. Like you said with Facebook, you need to walk your convictions. And if Facebook is blowing you away, you're tired of it, whatever, drop it. Just dump it and go do something else. You write a letter to somebody, for Pete's sake. How about that? Get a stamp and a piece of paper and a pen and write a letter to somebody and see what that gets you. It probably gets somebody, get a smile on somebody's face, and they might even write you a letter back.
Yeah, well, but try to approach YouTube.
People are going to fall away from YouTube too. I think it's already happening. I think they're losing a lot of subscribers, and maybe they don't want to admit it, but I think they're already probably losing a lot of people that just say they've had it. You know, they can't take the bias anymore. And this is a continuation, by the way, of the resistance that we've seen against big tech in Silicon Valley in general. The liberal bias there is getting everybody of a conservative bent fired. And people that are getting fired and other people that realize how biased big tech is, they're saying this ain't right. This needs to be regulated somehow, where, you know, put some fairness back to it, where they're not prejudiced against people just because of their political belief. And, you know, maybe the shoe's on the other foot in a sense, because, you know, there was years maybe the tables were turned the other way, but, you know, people are waking up to big tech is coming for them. They're coming for them, and they say, no, you're not. The people say, no, you're not coming for us. We're not going to put up with that garbage. And we'll just walk out on you. We'll stop using you. We'll stop paying you fees. We'll stop reading your stories. And that's it. That's good. That's a good thing.
It is. Do you agree with this statement? I'm reading from a headline. Trump tax cuts have postponed economic collapse.
No. I don't agree with it. It has nothing to do with it. It's nice. I mean, as far as personally, I'm glad if I get another $500 or $1,000 for me, that's fine. I'll take it. But tax cuts aren't going to forestall anything. And again, you have to ask, I mean, it's really thin. You have to ask, well, where are the tax cuts going to come from? Well, you know, already it's public knowledge that this year is going to see a $1 trillion increase in the national debt. And they're expecting more next year. So, forget the refund and the tax cut, whatever. That, you know, it's nice to say, well, we're going to have a little bit more, but there has been no brake put on national spending, no brake whatsoever. And it's even higher now. I mean, it's going to be higher than it was with Obama. That's scary.
Well, that's because of the money going into the military.
That's a big part of it.
That would have been my guess. I want you to listen to this radio broadcast. It was entitled, Leave Right Now or Arm Yourself to the Teeth. And where this occurred was in Caracas. Okay. Mm-hmm. Are we going to see that kind of attitude here? Is it going to get that bad, do you think?
If something isn't done between now and then, probably. Our government and our society is really dysfunctional right now, and either the dysfunction gets cured or healed, or else it will continue to fly out of control, and that's what you end up with in the end, is with some kind of armed conflict. And it doesn't mean civil war necessarily, but you look at Venezuela, what's happening there. People are disappearing, people get shot, people get killed for various things, they're looting, they're stealing, all kinds of discord and stuff. That society is dysfunctional as well. That's the end of what happens to a socialist / communist experiment. And that kind of dysfunction exists in our country right now, and if it isn't healed, it's going to continue to get worse, and eventually there will be a lot more bloodshed in our country as a result. I don't believe it's necessary at this point to go that route, but it depends on what people are willing to do. And for the most part, even people that sit and soak up shows like yours and mine and stuff, they listen to it and they get all upset and they sit there, and they receive it, but it doesn't alarm them enough to go to action. I learned some time ago that if a person is not alarmed, they simply won't budge from their status quo. And a lot of people are taking in our alternative media, story and the things we report on, and they're saying, yeah, you're right, that makes me mad as what, and then they just sit there and don't move because they're not alarmed. There must be hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people across the country, Dave, just like that, that have listened to people like you and me and agree and say, yep, I see the problem. Yep, that's the problem. Makes me mad. I spot it on the media all the time now and yada, yada. But they just will not get alarmed to the point where they're willing to do anything about it. And this is our job. It's not just to scare people with not just to plant fear, but to create a sense of alarm to where they'll actually do something about it.
And what is that point for most people?
I'm not sure I really understand that yet, Dave. I understand your question. I'm not sure I understand the cycle, what goes on in a person's head entirely. But when it gets personal, I think it has something to do with that. When it gets personal with you, when you see what's coming. I know a guy back east who is a financial donor to a couple of things that I'm aware of or, been working with a tad. And this person understands that if the technocrats and the progressives win and they take over and they destroy capitalism and free enterprise, he loses everything. He loses all his money. He loses all his savings. He loses all of his company. His personal property will go to zero. He understands he'll lose everything if we lose our economic system. And so he is alarmed enough to help out with causes that that he thinks need the help. And that's because he got alarmed. He finally saw the picture enough to where he saw his money being taken away, right? His property being taken away. Not somebody else's, but his. And he was moved to action. So I think that's probably what's at the center of somebody getting alarmed when they see something happening that affects them personally. And maybe it is a property rights issue. Maybe it is a banking issue or something. Who knows? But until they see their own self involved in the situation, they're not going to get in and do anything. They even try to do anything about it.
Well, Pat, before we close, tell people, in terms of their own personal resistance, where could most people of average means, average awareness, where could they start resisting?
Well, pick something in your local community and go out and find out what's going on first. I would say first, actually, become a citizen ninja. Learn how to handle yourself and what's expected of you in a public venue. And learn how to interact with people in a civil way where you can actually get things done. And, you know, the question is, do you want to win or just want to yell at people? If you want to win, you need to become a citizen ninja and learn how to do it. But once you have those basic personal skills down, you need to go out and just start listening in on what's going on in your own community. Put your ear to the ground. Attend some of these meetings and see what they're saying. See what they're dealing with and stuff. Find out the personalities involved. Find out if there's any real rat in the woodpile, so to speak. And you'll know what to do. Once you start doing that, you will see things that are glaringly wrong, maybe even illegal, and you'll have the tools necessary, you know, available to you to go out and do something about it. But you can't just tell people, well, you need to go fight this issue or that issue. That needs to become a personal issue with people. They need to go out and find out in their own communities what they're plagued with. Don't look at somebody else's community and say, well, what they're doing over there is really bad. Forget them. Don't worry about somebody else's city. Worry about your city, your community, your neighborhood. And there are, I'm sure that in most average-sized cities, there are dozens of meetings that take place every month with important agencies in your own local community, whether it be a school board, a fire board, a water board, a property rights, a property issue, city council. There's all kinds of committees meeting all the time. And you can get plugged in. If you want to, you can do it. You can go out and find something. Just go to some of them. Allocate a couple hours a day to drive down somewhere, find out when the meetings are, drive down to it, and just say, I'd like to sit in the meeting. They'll always let you in a public meeting. They have to, by law. Just go in and sit in the back and listen and find out what's going on. You'll know what to do when the time comes.
Yeah, I just don't recommend going on a self-driving car to those meetings, because you've already defeated the purpose.
You mean I can't call the Waymo Uber machine?
There you go. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I might end up in Surprise instead.
No kidding. Surprise. And I speak from experience. Worst city government ever. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
But, lest I digress because of local politics here in Arizona. But Pat, we got our work cut out for us. And if people don't roll up their sleeves, they're going to be loading their guns. That's my personal belief.
That's right. And don't just reach for your guns now and, play the cowboy.
That's not what we're talking about.
I know it isn't, but there's so many things we can do that will stop that outcome. And boy, I'll tell you, we need to expend the effort now and stop this before it gets to that point, because there will come a point when, look at all the rioting that took place in Philadelphia after the Super Bowl win, right? Is that crazy or what? I was watching that and I was thinking, okay, these people riot, and there were blacks and whites involved in this too, turning over cars and burning stuff up. I looked at that and I said, boy, if this is what they do when they're happy, I'd hate to see what they do when they're mad.
Off nuclear bombs, they're lost.
If they could, they would.
Crazy. So, well, Pat, tell people how they can follow your good work.
Well, hey, I do want to say they can follow a lot of what I'm doing on localactivist.org. For the sake of activism, but for the sake of technocracy, it's technocracy.news. And that's my daily expression from around the world of what's going on with technocracy. And, some of this, Dave, is so incredulous to people, they just can't believe it. It's like science fiction. I just can't believe that there's another, column of actors that are trying to do do us in that nobody's ever really paid attention to before. But they're rising right now. And, you know, you can look at the big tech companies like the Amazons and the Facebooks and the Googles and the Twitters and all those companies that are making this technology. You know, it's like science fiction to most people. They don't have the tools even to process what's going on. That's why technocracy.news, I hope, is important to people, to just see what's going on from their perspective around the world. It's like, wow, until you see it, you just really can't believe it.
Absolutely.
It
makes you wonder if the Amish don't have the right idea. Pat, I want to thank you so much for joining us. Always informative when you come on, and I hope people heed your wise words and will pick a cause and get involved. Pat Wood, ladies and gentlemen. Pat, thanks so much. Boy, I got to take that hard swallow here of this orange juice. Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the time I heard Art Bell. And he had to sign off early on his show because he super glued his lips together. Okay, anyway, enough of the hyperbole. Thanks to Pat Wood, and he is so right. Localactivist.org, we're trying to give people ways to become involved, to make a difference in your community. You know, I kind of take a macro approach here with the Common Sense Show and our various media outlets, and we take a big picture. Sometimes we get down in the trenches and fight the little battles, and I mean little, not in terms of the people who are involved, but in terms of how many people the issue appeals to. Like when we helped Monica Wesolowski when her kid was taken for political reasons by Virginia CPS. But generally we're macro. But that doesn't mean everyone else has to be. You can be micro. You can get down into the trenches and fight an individual issue. Maybe it's a zoning issue. But the more of us they hear from, the more it retards their progress. Because what lies on the other side, and this is where they're going, if you think that these depopulation efforts and the slow kills we talk about with the vaccines and the GMOs and all the stuff that you know is scientifically bad for you and has been proven to be so, this isn't just kind of like a bridge on the way to where they're going. They want transhumanism. They want singularity. They're saying now they're going to achieve it by 2040. Some are saying 2050. And they want you to live under their technocratic dictatorship. And that's the ones they let survive. And those mere mortals of us who won't be involved in this singularity, well, they're shortening our lifespan. Some people say 35 to 40 years of age, servant class. It's something I'm going to have Pat Wood on in a future time to talk about that part of this. It's really interesting. Well, anyway, Joe Hagman, The Hagman Report, first hour guest. Terrific reporting done on the Florida shooting. And, of course, Lisa Haven on Pi. Boy, is that a freaky thing. And, of course, Pat Wood here on being a local activist. We're out of here until next week. We'll see you then. Go out and have a great week, everybody. God bless.